Welcome to Unleash Your Impact, Unlock Others, a podcast about inspiring leadership. We hope to bring you grounded wisdom, stories from real leaders, and leave you feeling inspired. Let's dive in. So welcome once again to Unleash Your Impact, Unlock Others. And this is the second in our Confidence in Leadership series. Today's podcast is all about the silent confidence killers. And as usual, I'm here with Rich. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Dave.
So, Rich, it's probably fair to say that leadership confidence rarely collapses in big dramatic moments. It tends to erode quietly through things like pressure, through the noise of office politics, through perfectionism, and probably many other things besides. But it's through the internal stuff that no one ever sees, but every leader feels. So today, Rich, I want to go beneath the surface with you and find out why confidence can drain away, even if you're quite a capable leader, and why do you keep reaching for masks to hide the fact it does? So I guess over to you, really. Why do these things happen?
Yeah, so my research around confidence has suggested, actually, that people create what I call masks, psychological masks, if you like, to, you know, when people are feeling pressure, when they're under stress, what they'll often do is to put up a mask to protect usually their sense of self-worth or their view of their own competence in front of others. So it's how people compare themselves, you know, their self-worth and their competence versus those around them. So, you know, I think a lot of leaders think, actually, showing vulnerability is a weakness. So it's very common in leadership, and especially in senior leadership, to put up these masks as a protection. And on one level, you know, seeking to protect ourselves and keep ourselves safe, I think, is a healthy thing. But what we explore, we're at the moment, we're in the middle of creating an online learning pathway around confidence. And in that pathway, we explore actually when these masks become unhealthy and unhelpful and they get in the way.
And I guess we wear these masks often subconsciously as well. We don't know that we're doing it sometimes. That's the point.
Yeah, well, that is exactly the point. So when we are consciously trying to protect ourselves, and we're doing that intentionally in a healthy way, usually that's conscious. But unhealthy masks, I would suggest, are nearly always unconscious.
Yeah, yeah. So I said in my intro that leaders rarely lose confidence in a single dramatic moment. It tends to erode through micro pressures over time. Yeah. And many leaders probably say nothing because their role demands them to be calm or visibly composed. There's lots of reasons why we might not say anything. And as you said, they put on this sort of strong leader mask instead to protect themselves. Yeah. So I guess we'll go into some of the deeper level around pressure, politics, and perfectionism in a bit. But I just wanted to sort of talk to you initially about what are leaders feeling behind the scenes that they rarely admit to? Because we need to get this stuff out in the open. This is very, very common.
Yeah. In the last podcast, we talked about the idea of using a metaphor of a bucket filled with water to represent, one's confidence. And I think you're right. I mean, we do have traumatic events, and sometimes terrible things happen inside an organization, you know, to a leader. And their bucket like gets kicked over, well, more than kicked over, gets kicked across the room, and the water goes everywhere. And that's quite tricky to deal with. But actually, what we're exploring here is more normally what leaders feel is like the bucket is just continually getting knocked, and a little bit of water sloshes out, and then a little bit of water sloshes out, and they haven't got the, you know, what we call the micro habits to fill the bucket back up, and to put the water back in. So after a period of time, suddenly you discover the bucket is empty, and actually you're not operating from a place of resilience. You're operating from a place where you're continually getting knockbacks without dealing with those in a healthy way.
Okay, so let's dive into these what we call silent confidence killers. I think that's how I positioned it at the beginning. Number one is pressure. So we know that a lot of leaders, particularly senior leaders, are under pressure. They probably feel that pressure. But pressure can amplify insecurity, yeah? Because in senior roles, you have to be visible, you have to show responsibility. There are consequences for what you do, how you behave, how you act. So I guess my question to you is, why does pressure hit senior leaders so differently, maybe than earlier on in their career, or the way it does for people maybe a little bit lower down the organization?
Yeah, I think senior leaders in particular are in a position where I think it's natural as you move up an organization and you get promoted, there's almost like less and less psychological support available to senior people. And
true.
And the more you climb up in an organization, like the more you're on your own in terms of self-management and managing your own resilience. So middle and senior managers often find themselves in a position where their own respective line manager could be a very senior person in the organization. They might not see them very much. Mm-hmm. The relationship might be quite transactional. So there's a lot of self-management that they have to do. And then they have a team where they're trying to, if you like, protect them from all the politics and all the pressures that's going on in the organization. And they believe that by showing vulnerability to the team would be detrimental, you know. So, and on one level, that could be true.
Yes.
You know, because you want a good leader to be able to help the team navigate through those political pressures and those pressure points and that sort of stuff. But I think if a leader is continually second guessing themselves, saying to everyone else, "I'm fine, I've got this," they want to demonstrate to their their director or senior person in the organisation, their sponsor, I'm okay, I've got this, don't worry, and they don't want to show vulnerability, neither up nor down. That takes its toll, I think.
You've probably got some leaders that are saying it's all okay when they know actually it's not, and that's a pretense. You may have some people who've been saying that for so long, they actually internally believe they are, even when they're not.
Both of those scenarios
can happen, can't they?
I believe that's true. I mean, on our confidence pathway, online pathway, we talk about a number of masks, and I'm going to talk about those in detail today. But, those masks are the masks we put in front of us, where we're pretending and we're projecting a front which, if you like, overinflates and diminishes the perception our vulnerabilities to those around us. And I think when we do that, if you're not processing that in a healthy way, I think that can be really unhealthy over time, because your bucket of water is continually getting knocked in little micro knocks, if you like.
Yeah, and I like that analogy. I think it's a really good way to think about it. So again, you just mentioned it there. I said it in the introduction about it's not necessarily one big thing that happens that creates pressure that sort of kills our confidence. Often it is lots of these little micro pressures, if you want to call it that, and they keep happening and they keep happening and they keep happening. They build up and they build up. So perhaps we should just explore before we go on to the next section. What happens internally to leaders when they're under this constant pressure, this constant micro pressures building up? What happens internally for them?
So I think what's happening internally is there's a sense in which they put on this mask because they believe, rightly or wrongly, and I think usually wrongly, they believe that their role doesn't allow them to be human and to show vulnerability.
Right, okay.
So there's this perception that as a leader, you need to be this sort of strong person who never has vulnerabilities. He's got everything covered, got all the bases covered, and everything is fine. And, to be sure, there are pressures in organisations for people to perform and to deliver value for the salary that they're being paid. But I think also in a lot of organisations, there's more scope for leaders to be human and show vulnerability than they actually believe they have. That makes sense.
I do agree with you on that. Absolutely. So if you think about being under pressure, when we're under pressure, it's probably true that our self-worth gets a bit of a knocking. It becomes a bit more fragile. I guess then we have to lean on something else, don't we? So what happens when our self-worth becomes a bit fragile, Rich? What do we lean on?
Yeah, so what's happening there is, you know, when somebody's under pressure and they're trying to protect their self-worth because they're trying to protect the perception of themselves versus those around them, so that there's that unhealthy comparison going on. What they then do is to lean on what we call competence, on their competence harder. So, you know, again, going back to the research that I've done around confidence, actually confidence is this complex interplay between self-worth and competence. So, for example, if somebody's self-worth is under pressure, what they might do is to try a bit harder, to overwork. Perhaps they might overthink, they might over-prepare, they might try to, you know, try to be perfect or whatever. So you end up with these sorts of leaders. The masks are like, it's like the warrior mask. They need to push a bit harder, or it's like the untouchable mask. So so they hide themselves away from insecurity and put this barrier between them and their people. Or, you know, I guess you could call it the lone wolf mask, where actually they don't want to show others around them that they need to ask for help. So they're leaning into this idea, actually, that they use competence or the perception that everything is okay and they're doing really well to compensate for their self-worth that's being challenged.
And I think you made a really important point in the beginning of the explanation, is that confidence is a balance between your sense of self-worth and your competence. So what you're talking about here is that balance is out of sync, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know, what we talk about when we coach around the area of confidence, actually you're trying to bring that into balance. So you have a healthy sense of your own competence, and you have a healthy sense of self-worth, and you're not overcompensating in both of those, what we call axes in our online pathway.
And is it probably fair to say, Rich, that pressure, when it's like this, doesn't necessarily create new insecurities? What it does is exposes the ones that are already there that maybe we don't know about or don't think about.
Yeah. Yes, I think you're right there, because it's not the pressures themselves that create the insecurities. You know, pressures are pressures, stresses are stressors. It's our interpretation of those and how we cope with those. That's the important thing, I think. So pressures and stresses in and of themselves don't create the insecurities.
No. And let's be honest, if someone's listening to this thinking, well, actually, you know, pressure does create insecurity. No, it's probably already there. You just aren't recognizing that it's there. So that's why I think you go back to the previous interview I did with Nick Marlowe, when he was talking about how senior leaders, how can you really help anybody else if you can't help yourself, if you don't do the work on yourself? This is why self-awareness is so important, because under pressure, that's where self-awareness becomes really, really vital.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go into the second of the confidence killers, and something I know I've definitely experienced, I'm sure you have, the background that you've worked in, organizational politics. Yeah, we've probably all experienced, you know, maneuvering inside an organization. Yeah, we've probably experienced being judged, evaluated, compared. I mean, there's stuff that goes on all the time. I'd like to unpick this one with you, because I think it's a big one. How do these organizational politics undermine confidence?
Well, I think it's very true, actually, that there's a sense in which the higher you go and are promoted inside an organization, I think it's true that you will be watched. And, you know,
and people, judged.
And judged and evaluated and all of those things. So that they're true. Those things are true. But I think actually what we can do is we can like amplify that in an unhealthy way. So what we do is, it's true, you will be judged. You know, if you're visible in an organization, you're making, I don't know, presentations to groups of people, You know, mm-hmm. people will take a view on that. I think the danger is that leaders become self-conscious. They yeah. second guess. So in other words, that insecure sense of self-worth is a trigger for them wanting to put on this mask again to protect themselves. So this can play itself out in a number of ways. So it's a bit like one example might be like this chameleon mask, where you know a person feels vulnerable. They feel they're being watched and judged, and they're shapeshift to please those around them. You know, so all their actions, this mask, you know, all their actions are geared around placating people. You know, it might come across in like the diplomat mask, where they're trying to smooth everything out and they're trying to calm down all the conflict and that sort of stuff. Or perhaps actually, you know, there's the silent mask, where you just sit back and you just don't say anything where you should be saying stuff, because you're seeking to avoid judgment. And I think you can see that in lots of leaders. And organizational politics can undermine confidence in people. So how you manage yourself in that context in a healthy way is really important, because, you know, I'll go back to that point you made earlier. You know, yes, you are being watched, you are being judged, and you are being evaluated. But usually we layer over the top of that, and we amplify that by unhealthy management of our insecure self.
Yeah. I think I was thinking back when I was preparing for this conversation, when I've experienced this myself, in previous roles. And I think one of the things I know what I did do, and I'm sure this is very, very common, is when you are feeling like that, you kind of tell yourself stories. You build stories up around your narratives. And those narratives, if you're not careful, are very unhealthy. And they just mm-hmm. actually drive you in the wrong direction. They make it worse rather than better.
Yeah, that's a better way of expressing what I was trying to say. I think that those stories, those unhelpful stories, I think amplify, you know, the natural fact that, you know, as a leader, you're going to be watched and judged and evaluated. That's true. But those unhelpful stories amplify that to a degree where, you know, you're put on these masks that are unhealthy.
Yeah. So you've kind of explained a little bit of some of the masks that you see with leaders when they're caught in these types of environments. And you've mm-hmm. explained the shape-shifting and the trying to smooth things over and the maybe going mm-hmm. quiet. And I guess what we have to say here is leaders have to be careful in this situation. Stop monitoring other people's reactions as the first point of call. And start monitoring your own, because actually this comes from within first and foremost, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the analogy that I'd use, you know, we talked about this a little bit in the last podcast. You know, I use the analogy of the mask, you know, very intentionally, because, you know, imagine, you know, this idea comes from the Greek plays in ancient times, where, you know, actors would put a mask in front of their face and it would create a persona, you know.
Yes.
So there's a performative aspect that's associated with this idea of masks. And I think when a leader is acting in a performative way to, if you like, to pretend confidence, mm-hmm. that's coming from a really unhealthy place. So what we try to coach in people is not performative confidence, you know, where you're trying to put on all these masks, you know, to portray this idea of, you know, I'm the best and I'm okay. And I'm okay. All of that sort of stuff. Actually, it is to connect to what we call your connected center and to root and ground yourself in healthy responses to what's going on around you.
Hence, self-awareness is really important. As you said, you don't want to be performing. You want to be coming from a place of being present and being self-aware, not putting on a performance. That's a good
way to put it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess we should also say, the more political the environment that you work in, potentially the more fragile confidence can become.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, sometimes those political pressures, I mean, they're very real pressures. I mean, I'm not diminishing these. And some organizations are more political and have more pressure that comes with it than others. Mm. I mean, you know, just imagine for a minute that you're the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. You know,
no thanks.
The political pressures around Keir Starmer are very, very real, you know, and it'd be very easy. And I think, well, it does happen clearly, you know, because you see it. You know, we've seen it in a series of prime ministers where actually you get this very performative confidence. I think who was the prime minister for the Conservative Party? Was it after Boris Johnson? What was her name?
Theresa May.
So that was very interesting. There's a very performative aspect to the way she portrayed herself on television. And I don't think that came from a grounded, sort of centred sort of place where she was truly present. It's very performative. And I think, you know, that's a good lesson for leaders to learn. Confidence is not performative.
Yeah, but I mean, you could say, well, that's the most visible you can be is being in, you know, in politics like that. But I've seen that even at senior levels inside organisations where you're not necessarily in the public eye to that extent, but you are still, you know, highly visible. And I think you do get a lot of performative confidence in those situations. And as you said, some organisations are more political than others, and you have to understand the environment that you're in and how that impacts your confidence. Let's go on to the third confidence killer. I think it's something I've certainly seen a lot of people struggle with, and that's perfectionism. Mm-hmm. So let's make a statement here. Perfectionism sometimes is often celebrated. It's obviously not a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But
under
pressure, it becomes a confidence trap. We're always needing to prove ourselves, to polish ourselves up, but to protect ourselves. I think perfectionism is something which is really damaging. Do you want to comment? Yeah. Do you want to comment on that, Rich?
Yeah. Again, you know, the masks of like this pretense, being the pretender, or, you know, overachieving, that's another mask. Mm. You know, that these are masks that where we're trying to compensate for our fragile sense of self-worth, and then we're using competence, being perfect, if you like, to compensate for that. So, you know, leaders, I think, fear being exposed. They overinflate in their minds the expectations on them, that there are real expectations on them, but they're often overinflated. And then as a result, they almost go into over-control mode, and, you know, they go into this overachiever mode where, you know, they're trying to present to people around them actually this veneer of confidence. They don't make mistakes. They don't want to demonstrate their failures. They don't want to admit to their failures. So any suggestion of vulnerability is almost like shut down. So you get the armored mask, or you get this over reliance on competence, where, you know, you have to be the expert in everything, and actually, you know, the higher up the organization you get, you know, you can't be the expert at everything. You have to rely on the expertise in your teams, and you have to be able to, you know, be prepared to admit, you know, you don't know everything, to harness that expertise inside your team. Or actually, you might think you need to, you know, you need to come across as super polished, and you have this hyper curated image that you're trying to present to those around you. You know?
So, I think that last point, I mean, we mentioned this in a previous podcast, that last point's a really important one, because we've talked about how for many, many decades now, we've celebrated charisma in leadership and, you know, becoming that highly, as you said, highly polished, highly curated leader. When actually, that's not what all people are like. And it's not, I don't necessarily think it's the thing to aspire to anyway. You know, it's much more important to be authentically you than it is to be some created version of you that isn't true. But why do we do it? That happens a lot. We're trying to be this perfect, you know, never make a mistake, never sort of feel vulnerability, expert in everything.
I think perfectionism is like this fear of being truly seen, you know, to, you know, showing that vulnerability. I think that's really not a good place to operate from. I mean, there is a tension in leadership here where at times, you know, when your team is being buffeted by every political pressure and whim inside an organization, there's a sense in which they look to you as a leader for clarity and stability and all that sort of stuff. And so there may be a performative side to leadership where, you know, it might not always be appropriate to show your vulnerability.
No, I agree. Okay? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But actually, you can usually show vulnerability more than you think you can as a leader, in my view.
And you need to be self-aware enough to when your confidence is really on a low, you have to be able to admit that to yourself, because you can maybe mask that for a little while, but the longer you try and mask it, probably the worse it's going to become, isn't it?
So yeah.
You have to be really careful with that.
Yeah, I think when you choose not to show vulnerability, that has to be a conscious choice that comes from a healthy place. If you're not showing vulnerability because you've got one of these unconscious masks up and you're trying to, you know, protect your fragile ego unconsciously, you're then not coming from a good place.
Yeah, I like the little quote you said. I think it's really good. Perfectionism is the fear of being truly seen. I think that is so true. Yeah. So, but what we're saying is behind every polished exterior is usually a very scared leader trying to protect their fragile self-worth. And that that might not be easy to admit in public, but that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
So let's take this masks metaphor a bit further, and let's talk about making the invisible, the stuff that's going on behind the scenes, more visible. Yeah. So I guess the question to start this off, Rich, is can you talk us through how leaders recognize the masks that they're wearing?
Yeah, that's tricky. I think the challenge around these masks is, as I said before, is usually masks are unconscious. They're an unconscious control mechanism, self-preservation mechanism that we put in. So I think what I can do is if I can articulate the masks, and we've already talked about them, but I'll use four mask analogies.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it will help people to see in themselves. Oh, yes, I use that mask, and I can see that.
Okay.
So I think what people need to do is, you know, we've said it before many times on this podcast. You can't change what you're not aware of. So we're using this podcast to raise self-awareness around these key masks. So in our confidence pathways, we talk about four main masks as the pretender mask. Okay, so the pretender mask is where we're using performance and competence as a mask, you know, to mask our internal vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
So that's the pretender mask. There's the overachiever mask. So that's usually that, you know, productivity, perfectionism type type mask. And then we have the striver mask where, you know, you've got all this busyness going on to compensate again. And then finally, you have what we call the self-doubter mask. Now, what's really interesting about the self-doubter mask, you know, that's the mask where we shrink inside ourselves when we're not prepared to push ourselves away. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know whether you'll agree with me on this, but I think usually people associate only the self-doubter mask with fragile confidence.
Okay. Yes, probably.
So what I'm trying to stress here is these masks around, you know, performance and productivity and busyness and perfectionism and all those, you know, what we call the pretender, the overachiever and the striver masks, people don't often associate that with fragile confidence.
Well, funnily enough, and I come from a sales background, as you know, I can probably think of organizations I've worked for where some of that stuff's actually celebrated. It's not actually recognized as this actually is more of a problem than it is a good thing. I've seen plenty of people that who describe them as strivers and overachievers. Well, is that a good thing? Is that really a good thing?
Yeah. So the trick here is to recognize when it's a mask, because there is a flip side to the mask.
Yeah.
And it's what we call the connected center. So imagine the connected center is this healthy place where you come from, you know, where you're self-aware, you're self-managing, and, you know, your ego is in a stable, sort of good place. So when we put up a mask, actually, what we're stepping outside of our connected center.
Yeah, okay.
So if we take away the mask and think about the pretender, the overachiever, and the striver, and all that sort of stuff, actually, the flip side of those things actually is, you know, you want leaders to be ambitious. You want them to you want them to push. You want them to strive for excellence.
Yeah.
With the self-doubter mask, actually, you want them to be humble enough to be able to admit their mistakes and their vulnerabilities and their failures.
Yeah.
So what we're advocating here is those masks have, if you like, almost like grown as calluses over somebody's career to mask their insecurity.
There's an image for you.
Yeah. And what we're trying to do is to peel those away to reveal the healthy stuff that lies behind that. You know, so actually, you know, the pretender mask and the overachiever mask and the striver mask, initially they would have come from good places. You know, being ambitious, striving for excellence, trying to be the best version of yourself, working hard, having a good work ethic, you know, they're all good things.
Just to be clear for the listeners to our podcast who are listening to this and thinking, yeah, I kind of get what we're talking about here in terms of how we all wear masks. Is the aim to remove the mask entirely, or is the aim something else? Because that sounds like it could be unrealistic to do that.
Yeah, because we're all going to wear masks, and there are times perhaps where we wear a mask, you know, and we're doing that to keep ourselves safe. I think it's when it's unconscious. You know, and to recognise the healthy side of the mask, if you like, you know, to peel away the callus. I hate that image, you know. But let's go with
it. Point, Rich. It makes the point. Yeah.
It does make the point. You know, peel that away. You know, reconnect and ground yourself from a place actually where you don't have a fragile sense of self-worth. You're not using your competence to compensate for, you know, that fragile ego. And you know, you're coming from a place where actually that you're engaging the healthy element of the mask.
I was going to say, what we're saying here is masks are not the enemy. It's the unconscious masks that are the problem.
It's the unconscious mask. That's right.
Okay. So in terms of the last section of this conversation I want to have with you is around sort of how do we practically stabilize confidence if we know it's getting out of sync. So I guess leaders will need some sort of small practical tools that can create that inner stability that they're looking for. So I guess if you could just sort of give us what can people do in real time when they notice their confidence is shrinking, particularly under pressure?
Yeah. So on our confidence online pathway, we talk about, you know, within your connected center, you will have what we call strength anchors. So I'm not going to go into that in too much detail. If people want to know a little bit more about that, they can register to be on the pathway when we release it. But things like what we call the strength anchors, so in other words, our ability to stay present, to be humble, to have clarity, to have perspective. So I'm just going to suggest just a couple of very simple micro habits that, if you like, pull on these strength anchors, if you like. So the first is actually, you know, when you're under pressure, you need to make sure that you're present and you're engaged and you're grounded. And we talked about this in the past. It's as simple as stopping and pausing and taking a breath and consciously grounding yourself. If you think, you might think, well, that sounds super obvious, and to some degree that's true, but when we're under pressure, usually what happens is we're not grounded, our breathing is all over the place, and we're not taking time to bring conscious self-reflection into the moment.
No, I agree. Common sense isn't common practice, is it? Let's be honest.
So pausing and breathing and putting that gap between stimulus and response. Once you've put the gap between stimulus and response, you need to ask yourself, what mask potentially might I be holding up, you know, like the Greek, in the Greek play, what mask am I holding up right now that's getting in the way? And I think it's really important, you know, one of the strength anchors we talk about is the clarity strength of clarity. So you've created that gap between stimulus and response. And I think it goes back to the point you were making earlier, where we overlay all these unhelpful stories over what's going on. Actually, what's really happening right now? What's really true right now? What are the actual facts? Strip away all the unhelpful stories and to root yourself in what's actually happening right now. And don't allow the stories and the narratives to spiral.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Pause and breathe. Name the mask. See it for what it is. Focus on the facts, and then using the strength anchor we call perspective. You know what matters most right now in this moment. If I ground myself in healthy confidence and not performative confidence, actually, what matters right now in terms of how I show up, you know, for the people around me.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's some brilliant. They're, as you said, in micro behaviors, but actually such important behaviors. If you can do that, if you can do those four things that you've just described, that is a really good way to start to practically stabilize yourself when confidence is really ebbing away, as it were.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think for today, Rich, that's it. I mean, we're, as I said, this is an arc of 8 episodes we're going to do on the subject of confidence in leadership. So there'll be another one next time where we pick up a slightly different aspect of confidence. But before I sort of wrap this up, any sort of top tips or anything, other things you want to say?
Not really. I think I'll just go back to the point, put a gap between stimulus and response and ground yourself.
And ground yourself. Okay. So I guess what we'd say about today's conversation that Rich and I have had, most leaders don't lose confidence because they're weak. And I think we have to make that really clear. They lose it because the pressures they carry are invisible and, in today's world, relentless. So when you notice, as Rich was describing, that mask slipping on, that's not a failure, but what it is a signal. It's a moment to pause, as Rich has described, to recenter yourself, try and get yourself back to what he called the connected center. And that's where we're self-aware, we're humble, and we can operate in an authentic way. So, Rich, next time, I think we're going to explore why the strongest leaders aren't always the loudest, but they are the most regulated.
Yeah, okay, we're going to have some fun with that one.
I know where that's going. but no, I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation. But for today, Rich, thanks very much.
Yeah, and, thank you. Cheers.
For anybody listening, thank you for listening. One thing I would say, if you are listening to this podcast regularly and you're enjoying it and you're finding it valuable and useful, please go on to the podcast platform, listen to it, and give us a rating, because for us to reach more people and help more people, it is important that we get ratings. So please give us a nod on social media, give us a rating on the podcast platform. It's really important because we'd like to spread this message as far and wide as we possibly can, and help as many people as we can.
Share.
It's all about sharing. So if you could do that for us, we would be very, very grateful. But for today, from me and from Rich, goodbye.